Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. Holy, 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 Lord God, the Almighty. Please stand and join in our offertory hymn number 68, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Thank you. Let us pray. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, thank you, dear Lord, for the day that you've given us. And Lord, we're so thankful for all the many blessings that you give to each and every one. And Father, we ask that you would bless these tithes, these gifts, and this offering, and that it might go for the advancement of thy kingdom, both here in this community and around the world. And it's in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Proclamation on September 22, 1862. The moment it went into effect on January 1, 1863, every slave living in the Confederacy was legally free. But until they knew of their freedom and accepted their freedom, the legal fact had absolutely no impact on their lives. Union soldiers, some carried hundreds of thousands of copies of the Emancipation Proclamation and passed them out as they made their way through the South during the war, letting the slaves know that they were free. We too, as Christians, we've been freed from the slavery and bondage of sin. we have been emancipated and free. And yet, that freedom is for the whole world, and they don't know it. Some know it and don't accept it. But those that don't know it need to be told. And we, like those Union soldiers, need to go around carrying the Emancipation Proclamation signed by God Himself through the blood of Jesus Christ. We need to pass it out. We need to proclaim it to all those who are freed, which is every person in this world. Again, they're not free unless they hear it and they accept it. They have to accept it. Otherwise, they're not free. This is our partnership with God. He has saved us and He's given us a work to do. And we have the fact of our lives then should be in partnership with Him. We bow with you in prayer. Holy God, this country, we understand slavery. We do, because as a nation, we were guilty of it in holding one person under the slavery and ownership of another. But God, we, as a people all across this world, our nation, our state, our county and this community of Oak Grove, we are held in bondage and slavery by sin, held in sway by the prince of this world, Satan, until we hear of your freedom, your emancipation proclamation, stating that we are free, and then accept it through the blood of Jesus Christ. And then we partner with you to proclaim this proclamation to all those who know and need. Cause us, in whatever stage in life we are, to be worthy of our freedom, to be worthy of our partnership with you, Almighty Creator God. May we see from your word today our part. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
I'd like to ask you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. Now maybe by now you have it marked. I hope that this passage of Scripture has been an inspiration to you. It has definitely been an inspiration to me. I have, through preparing for the sermons and through preaching the sermons, I've had the ability then to, especially chapter 2, verse 9, committing that to memory, and I have brought it up into my own self and thought and meditation over these past couple weeks. I hope that you understand that we have only scratched the surface of the meaning of this passage, verses 9 through 12. We've actually used it as a springboard for our discussion about partnering with God. It certainly merits our time and further study. Please follow as I read 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the One who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as strangers and temporary residents to abstain from fleshly desires that war against you. Conduct yourselves honorably among the Gentiles, so that in a case where they speak against you as those who do what is evil, they will, by observing your good works, glorify God on the day of visitation. When one is in a partnership with another, there is a shared responsibility between the ones involved. When a man and woman are married, they enter a partnership, and they have a shared responsibility of building a life and family together. When one or more persons develop a business partnership, then each person has a role to play towards the success of that business. The idea of a silent partner is bogus, because every partner has a responsibility to the success of, in this case, business. We are called in partnership with God, a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of His possession, and we have a responsibility. For us to just say, well, Jesus, you are the Son of God, I believe this. Be Lord or Commander of my life. And you are the only Savior of my eternity. And then we sit back on our laurels, and we don't partner with God and what He is all about. We aren't upholding our partnership. We aren't worthy of anything. So I say, for you and for me, are we doing our responsibility before Almighty God? Are we doing it? Are we actively involved? Kurt, are you actively involved? Well, Kurt, you're a pastor. You preach the word. You know what? I honestly know pastors that it's just a job, and they walk through the motions. So I have to ask myself, am I actively involved in partnership with God? Because God doesn't look at totally at what I'm doing. He looks at my heart. He looks at my heart as He looks at your heart. So I don't stand here in any kind of judgment over any person here, because I can't answer that question between you and God. That is between you and God. Are you a proper partner with God? Well, what does that mean? Well, first of all, I've already stated that, honestly, it is bogus to say there's such thing as a silent partner. That just means everybody else may not know about it, but I'll guarantee you the people in the partnership know that he's a partner. And if he was, if in a business, if you're losing money, usually the silent partner is the one that flipped up money. He won't be so silent. Well, God bought us with a price. That price was His Son, Jesus Christ. Allowing His Son to have His blood shed for us. He's not going to be a silent partner in our lives. He's given us something to do. And so therefore, our job is, as Peter said in chapter 2, verse 9, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Our job is that of proclamation. A quick side note. If we're going to proclaim the one who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, that is to proclaim God and his Son Jesus Christ, but we aren't going to live like it, then our words are nothing. If all we do is act it out in our lives, and we live a nice, decent life, but never proclaim it, then our actions are weak. But when our words and our actions and our life match, we can go out truly with the power of Almighty God. This is a call for us at Zora Baptist Church. God, I believe, has been doing a work here before my time, and I praise God He's allowing me to be part of it today. Again, I say, it is not me, the pastor, and you, the congregation. It is us, the body of Zora Baptist Church. And God is working in us. And it's time for us as a body, as individuals, to proclaim, not just with our lives, but with our words, the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is not something new. This isn't a new command of God. If we look in the Psalms, Psalm 96, verses 2 and 3, sing to Yahweh, sing to the Lord Almighty. Praise His name, proclaim His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His wonderful works among all peoples. God's design for the Jewish nation. They're His chosen people as a physical race. His whole design was for them to be a lighthouse to the world. Those that are called Gentiles, and share God with them. To proclaim His salvation, His glory, and His wonderful works. They failed Him, and part of a curse that was brought upon them in judgment was that honor of sharing God's salvation and His glory and His wonderful works was taken to us, the Gentiles. I don't want to disappoint God. I don't. So in order for us to proclaim God's salvation to others, we have to be saved ourselves. How foolish would it be if someone was drowning and they looked over at someone else drowning and they said, "Well, I'm drowning, but I'm going to go save them." Anybody ever known someone to do that? Or able to do that? How can one drowning victim help another drowning victim? Can't happen, can it? But first, one drowning has to be saved. And then they can help save or be part of a partnership in saving others. And so it is with the gospel. For us to try to save people, if we're not saved, we will find ourselves like that drowning person trying to save someone else. So I say to you, are you saved? What does that mean? Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you are justified, meaning your sins are washed away. And it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. That's salvation. It can be simple and it can be yours today. Today. I'll be more than happy to walk through it with you and give more explanation if you need it. Once we're saved, then we can be part of God's work, partnering with Him in reconciling man to Him. Philemon 6, verse 6 says, I pray that your participation in the faith may become effective through knowing every good thing that is in us for the glory of Christ. So as we know Jesus, then we need to get to know Jesus. How do we do this? We do this by being in His Word. It says here that we should know everything, every good thing in us. Scripture makes it very clear that there is nothing good aside from God, and that God is only good. And so therefore, for us to know what that good thing is in us, which is God, then we're going to have to know God. And how do we know God? Through His Word. We have to know His Word. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 to 16. But honor the Messiah as Lord in your hearts. Always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. However, do this with gentleness and respect, keeping your conscience clear, so that when you are accused, those who denounce your Christian life will be put to shame. So as we know that good that's in us, then we're going to be able to have an answer. This comes to reading God's Word, studying God's Word, memorizing God's Word. And then when someone says, why do you believe what you believe? How do you have hope in this hopeless situation? And you can say, this is how. And you have God's Word hidden in your heart, and you put building blocks there, and the Holy Spirit will give you power to be able to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yes, it is the Holy Spirit. Our duty before God is to proclaim the gospel, is to be part of what He has asked us to be. And Jesus made no secret of it. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, I read this last week, Jesus said, if anyone wants to come with me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. It's not that it's simple. It's not that it's complex. But it is that we have a responsibility, and we have the responsibility to know more and more and more about what's expected of us. The task of taking up our cross is not a job for us to accomplish alone. This is the beauty of partnership. We're partnering with God, and in this partnership of taking up our cross, knowing Him, proclaiming Him, God gives us help. Gives us help through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, this is very familiar to most of us. Then Jesus came near and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus said, I am with you always to the end of the age. We don't go it alone. I've been through hard things in my life, as many of you have as well. I cannot imagine going through some of the things I've gone through if I had to do it alone. But when we belong to Jesus, when we belong to Jesus, He promises and fulfills His promise that I am with you always, even to the end. What a comfort. What a comfort to know that upon our salvation, upon our partnership with God, as we live our lives, we're not going alone. No matter what circumstance we're in, we're not alone. But it's more than that. Because with God, we can have power. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, Moses is letting his people know that he's going to die. God had revealed to Moses that his life was coming to a close. The people had always looked to Moses as their strength and as their guide. And Moses came to them and he said these words, Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, "Be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified or afraid of your enemies. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you." Moses is turning attention from himself to God. He is saying that with God, be strong, be courageous. With God, don't be terrified or afraid, because He will go with you. We don't need to be afraid. When we are to proclaim the gospel, the number one reason people say they don't proclaim with their mouth the gospel of Jesus Christ is because they're afraid. They're afraid of what people will think. They're afraid of losing a friendship or a relationship. They're afraid of getting mocked or made fun of or laughed at. But in our partnership with God, as we allow Him to lead us, as we seek opportunity to share the gospel, He will make us strong and courageous. He will take away that fear, and He will give us power. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 to 8, "For God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness, but one of power, love, and sound judgment. So don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord." As Paul said, "Or of me, his prisoner, instead share in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God." It was and is a promise of God through Jesus, His Son, that He will always, that we will always have Him with us. Jesus said in John 14, verse 26, "But the Counselor, that is the Holy Spirit, the Father will send Him in my name. He will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've told you." This is the beginning of the promise of the Holy Spirit. For every true believer, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, God in spirit with us. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. And at whatever point there is a need of God's power, we have it. We squelch it. We allow sin to take hold of our lives. We allow fear to rule. And God is saying, stop it. Be strong and courageous. As Jesus said, "I am with you always, even to the end." In John 20, chapter 21, Jesus said to them, "Peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you." Every person who's accepted Jesus as their Lord, as their Savior, we're being sent. And if we do not take the challenge of proclamation, letting others know that they are free from the bondage of sin, we're not doing our job. We're not being proper partners with God. Luke chapter 12, verses 8 and 9, Jesus said, "And I say to you, anyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God. But whoever denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God." I don't want to be denied before the angels. I don't want Jesus to look at me and say, "No, I don't know who he is. No, he sure didn't act or speak like my servant." I don't want that said of me. I want to proclaim the name of Jesus, not out of fear, though, but out of love and gratefulness. Because that is what will drive us as true believers, as we understand from what we've been saved. We will be willing to open our mouth at any opportunity. Many years ago in St. Louis, a lawyer visited a Christian to transact some business. Before the two parted, his client said to him, "I've wanted to ask you a particular question. I wanted to ask you why you've been afraid to accept Jesus as your Savior." The lawyer just stood there and just hung his head. And then very quietly he admitted, he said, "You know, I know enough of the Bible that it says that a drunkard has no part in the kingdom of heaven. And I'm a drunkard." The Christian had his Bible with him. And he read some passages showing that everyone is under condemnation. Everyone is under condemnation, but that Jesus came to save all the lost by dying on the cross for their sins. He shared with him the emancipation proclamation of God signed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And then he said to him, "By receiving Jesus as your substitute and redeemer, you can be forgiven if you're willing to receive Jesus. Why don't we pray right now to do so?" The lawyer agreed, and when it was his turn, he exclaimed, "Oh Jesus, I'm a slave to drink. One of your servants has shown me how to be saved. Oh God, forgive my sins. Help me overcome the power of this terrible habit in my life. Save me." Right then and there he was converted. Certainly, in his particular situation, he had to fight alcoholism, but he had the power to do so, because he no longer had the spirit of fear. He had the spirit of power, of love, of sound judgment. He was able to walk through his addiction. And he had a name. C.I. Scofield. C.I. Scofield wrote one of the most widely used and known study Bibles that we have today. The Scofield Study Bible. You see, God will do His part and will always fulfill His part of the partnership with us. This client of Scofield did his part in his partnership with God. And he proclaimed, he looked for opportunity and he proclaimed the gospel. I want you to understand, he looked for opportunity because he chose to have a relationship with his lawyer that went beyond business. We have relationships with people, and we can choose to have a relationship beyond business. And we should. I talked about it last year, of finding a new friend. Just one. Where we say, in partnership to God, "God, I'm going to do what I can do to make this person my friend." And then, this year I'm saying, now look for opportunities like this client to share the emancipation proclamation of Almighty God to free them from slavery of sin like He freed you and freed C.I. Scofield. The bottom line is this. Written in the book Christian Theology in Plain Language, it says, "It is easy to determine when something is aflame, it ignites other material. Any fire that does not spread will eventually go out. A church body, an individual claiming Christ, that does not proclaim the gospel to their community will eventually die, just as a fire that does not spread will die. We're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and God's possession, partnering with God to proclaim His salvation to our world boldly and courageously, but with His help. So there's no excuses. We have the Emancipation Proclamation signed by God by the blood of Jesus Christ, freeing everyone from the slavery and bondage of sin and death. And because we are partnering with God, it's our job to get the word of freedom to the people we know and meet. The challenge for us then, the challenge is for us to actually pray for opportunity. Think of it. When is the last time you said, "Lord God, give me an opportunity to proclaim your gospel to someone so blatantly I can't miss it"? When have we prayed that last? The challenge this week is that we will pray that every single day. And then we'll be ready. And we make ourselves ready every day to be able to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to someone, anyone, whom God opens the door. For whom God opens the door. That's right. Holy God, thank you for freeing me. Thank you for freeing every person here who has called upon the name of Jesus for salvation. We're free. We're free from the bondage of sin, free from death, free from hell. But not just that, you've given the addendum of eternal life. And we have eternal life through Jesus Christ. May we then be worthy of our partnership with you. May we be worthy to proclaim with our life and our words the gospel of Jesus Christ. May we look for and pray for opportunity to share with someone we know, someone we meet, this gospel that will set them free from their bondage of sin and death. Be glorified in and through us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to ask during this invitation time that if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, or you're wondering what you do, please come. We'll just step aside. We can even just walk out here, whatever. Let me share with you more of what Jesus and His Word, or God's Word, has to say about salvation. Let this be the day of your salvation. For those of you that know Jesus, and you know that you know Jesus, I ask that you search your heart, as I will be doing and have been doing. Are you partnering with God? Are you being responsible in that partnership? Maybe for you it's saying, no, I have or I haven't, either way. Coming forward doesn't say one way or the other, but maybe coming forward to say to all of us that I'm committed to partner with God
And I'm going to come forward. I'm going to pray at you. I'm going to pray up here. I'm going to pray with the pastor, whatever it is. I'm going to ask that you do that. We need to start stepping out. If we can't step out here at church, how are we going to step out up there? What holds you back from stepping out in commitment? Put feet to it. Now, I'm not trying to say there's anything holy about coming forward, but I know in my own life that if I put feet to something, and if I commit there, it's going to be a whole lot more than if I just at my seat and say, all right, Lord, I'm committed. Well, no one saw it. No one knew it but God. And sometimes I don't let God's accountability count. That's why He's given us a body for us. Let the accountability count, if you're serious about it. You know, it's not for me. It's between us and God. I've never had a call like this at invitation. I hope you understand. I really believe this. For us to step out of time, are we going to step out? What's the hymn number? Hymn 559. Let's stand and sing. 559. We'll sing just a couple words. Not that it'll be long enough.